Grace and mercy and peace be to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from the first reading for the day from Revelation chapter 7. We hear these words, "Who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come?" This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, who are all these people? We have the description throughout our text, and it's all very good. They make up a great multitude that no one can number. They are from all nations, the same word that Jesus used when he said to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And indeed, they are from all tribes and peoples and languages, because the Lord declared that his word would go forth into all the world. It's not a small number. It's a great multitude. You know, the church has always seemed to look like a scattered few near extinction in this world. But God will have his people, and they are too numerous to count. They are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they are clothed with white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Waving palm branches only shows up twice in the Scripture, Palm Sunday and here in Revelation chapter 7. On Palm Sunday, the people waved palm branches as Jesus was entering Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and they were shouting, "Hosanna, save us now, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus was riding into Jerusalem with his purpose in mind, and that purpose was to save his people. And in a few short days, he would be raised up on a cross for his throne as he died for the sins of the world. But now in Revelation chapter 7, while the palm branches are the same, everything else is different. The promise has been fulfilled. Instead of the cross, there's a real throne. And instead of the Savior preparing to be sacrificed, he is now present as the resurrected Lamb who has been slain. And rather than throwing down their garments in service to him, they're wearing white robes that he has given to them. And instead of crying out, "Save us now," they declare that he has already saved. "Salvation belongs to our God," they sing, "who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." It's done. The cross is over. And the victory is the Lord's. Who are these? They're in pretty special company. They're standing with angels around the throne. Elders are there too, 24 elders, perhaps the 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs who have thrones and crowns of their own. So are the four living creatures. This rather elite choir continues the song that they started singing two chapters earlier in Revelation chapter 5. "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. All of this belongs to him. Amen. Let it be so." "Who are these?" one of the elders asked John. "Who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come?" Well, I don't think John has the answer. He says, "You answer, you know." And so the explanation, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. So they've come out of the great tribulation. Some preachers will tell you that this refers to a special 7-year time period just before the end of the world. But that's some fanciful interpretation, a false teaching, in fact. Now, there's no denying that things are going to be worse before the end. The way that Revelation describes it, there will be a huge church that claims to be Christianity, but has actually denied the gospel, as well as a world that's pretty well completely rejected Christ. And neither of them will favor those who hold fast to the gospel. Kind of like today, isn't it? However, a more sound interpretation of the Great Tribulation is simply this: life in this world has always a time of great tribulation for the people of God. The multitude in heaven is a gathering of those who are no longer on earth, but stand before the throne of God in heaven. And why are they there? They are there because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, blood and white robes don't normally go together. In fact, blood stains are often the worst to remove. In this case, though, the blood of the Lamb has removed every stain and spot of sin from the robes of the crowd, not just from one or two, but the entire multitude. They are holy and clean before God, their robes white because Christ has paid for every last one of their sins. And where are they? They are before the throne of God. But the throne is not empty. They are in the presence of God with he who sits on the throne and who will shelter them with his presence. The word for shelter there is a pretty important one. It's also the word for tent or tabernacle. Back in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was God's temple in the wilderness as the people of Israel journeyed to the promised land. God dwelt with his people in the Holy of Holies, that inner room of the tent. He concealed himself there because they could not see his glory and live. Stained and unholy with sin, they could not be that close to him. He had to hide for their good. But now in Revelation chapter 7, he shelters them with his own presence. In other words, they're inside the tent, inside of that most holy place with him. That's what heaven is, life in the glorious presence of God forever. They can be in his presence because the Lamb has made them clean with his own blood. The Lamb became flesh and tented among them in order to save them from their sin. They are in the presence of God because they're holy. And only holy things can be in the presence of God. That explains what's not in the vision. There's no hunger, thirst, scorching heat, or sadness. Our text concludes, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." So who are these? Who makes up this great multitude from all nations, gathered around God's throne with the elders and the living creatures? Who has the honor of being that close in white robes, waving palm branches and singing praises to the Lamb? Who are these? delivered from the great tribulation, never to suffer sin or pain or affliction again. Who are these? Well, along with the rest of God's people, they are you. You. You are among those whom God has gathered from all nations. You are cleansed with the blood of Christ, and you wear the white robe of righteousness, because all who are baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. What you see in the text is your future. This is not a possibility or one of several possible endings. This is what Christ redeemed you for. Christ redeemed you for eternal life in the presence of God. That may sound a bit abstract, but consider it this way. It's like in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. There, Adam and Eve could stand in God's presence, and God came to walk with them. And there, because there was no sin, there was no wages of sin, no hunger, no thirst or pain, no tears. It was sin that brought all of this as part of its curse. Christ came and defeated sin, suffering himself the hunger, the thirst, the pain, the tears, and all of God's judgment for sin. And in doing so, he reversed that dreadful curse. Because he has won salvation for you, your sins are forgiven. Heaven is yours. And heaven means being in the presence of God, the giver of all good things for all eternity. That's how God designed things to be from the beginning. In contrast, hell would be where God is not, or at least where God is not present with grace and mercy. For those who want nothing to do with God, they receive what they want, though they will find an existence completely without God to be a terrible thing indeed. If God provides food and health and protection and order and deliverance out of his grace and mercy, will these things be found if God is not present with his grace and mercy? No. But hell is not for you. You've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Your future, your eternity, is life in his presence with every good gift that he has. That's what God offers to all people through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that all who believe in him might be saved from hell and delivered to heaven. But for now, you're neither in heaven or hell. You're in this world, a sort of in between. There's a bit of hell here because you still witness the wages of sin, with sickness and the troubles and the anxiety and everything else that contributes to the great tribulation. But this world is not hell, because God is still present in this world. There's a bit of heaven here too, you see. For precisely that reason, God is present with you as near as his means of grace. He's clothed you in the white robe of righteousness in your baptism. And he keeps speaking you clean with his absolution. And he gives you a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper. But this world is not heaven either. God is present, but God must still conceal himself in words, in water, in bread, and wine. He must do so because sinners cannot abide his glorious presence and live. So for now, you're in between heaven and hell. enduring in a world that features both hellish tribulation and heavenly grace. The point of Revelation chapter 7 is to remind you of your future. The world is not the end or your final destination. Your place in that multitude around God's throne is already secure because the Lamb has already shed his blood for you and forgiven you all your sins. Like an heir of the fortune who is in a car on his way to the reading of his father's will, it's only a matter of when, not if. The inheritance is yours. You just don't see it yet. The only thing that would keep the heir from the inheritance would be if he jumped out of the car and ran away. That's the only ploy that the devil has left for you, to get you to run away from God's gift of forgiveness and heaven, and to choose sin and eventually hell instead. He'll try to make sin look attractive, and your sinful flesh will want to cooperate and choose the sin over grace and the promised land. He'll try to make you doubt God's presence and believe that you're God forsaken and already in hell, though this world is still so visited by God that we cannot have a true idea of what hell is really like. But once again, this is written to Christians who are being ground into a fine powder by suffering and trial and tribulation. And again, compared to you and your own strength and abilities, the tribulation you face is great. But remember, Christ Jesus is greater still. And here's the proof. Of all of the tribulation you face is a result of sin and designed to lead you to death, but Jesus has already conquered death. He's emerged from the tomb, never to die again. And if he has conquered the greater enemy, death itself, he is certainly greater than the tribulation that afflicts you. So once again, by the grace of God, hold fast to him. This time of tribulation will come to an end because it is already defeated. Everything that has power to separate you from God has been gutted on the cross. Eternal life in his glorious presence is already yours, where there will be no hunger or thirst or scorching heat or suffering anymore. Those things cannot be there because they are the result of sin. But my friends, you will be there because Christ Jesus has taken away your sin. For his sake, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. We pray that the Lord would come quickly and deliver us from tribulation. But however long the Lord tarries in his wisdom and mercy, you still have this vision from Revelation chapter 7. You know the end of the story, eternal life, delivered from every sin and every consequent of sin is yours because you are forgiven all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.